Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. This will be the last update for today. We're going to focus on the latest SARS-CoV-2 pandemic numbers and as well as a quick recap of the variant. We now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, today's really the first day since the 23rd, really, that's not heavily impacted by the holidays. The holidays kind of throw off the numbers. Deaths require additional work, and so they're kind of lagging on the reporting side, and then the holidays knock down the number of people being tested. So the total numbers are somewhat influenced also. And not all the states were reporting during the holiday. Some even started on the day before. So really the 24th was impacted a little bit and everything's kind of been impacted since. And this is the first day that's not heavily impacted by the Christmas holiday, and the same thing's going to happen this coming weekend and the end of this week. So it's just a few days to kind of give a little bit of a glimpse. And what happened today? These are just U.S. numbers. The not everything is in yet. California will probably be coming in with another set of numbers, but right now, the total number of cases is just under 200,000, but the number of deaths is over 3,000. It's up to 3,300 already. And I think the record's right around 3,500. There's some projections that there might be 100,000 deaths in January. I think those are largely based upon how many people have been going into the hospital and how many are in ICU. The hospital beds are at all record high. And therefore, these records of 3,000, 3,500 deaths in a day are probably all going to be beat next month. And so that's why there's projections of 100,000 deaths in the month of January. And getting up to about 500,000 total by mid-February. So that's the highest prediction so far, and that's due in part to this large surge and anticipated additional surges due to Thanksgiving. Due to Christmas, and then followed by New Year's. So the numbers for today are 3,300 deaths so far. Like I say, I might get some more from California. And I just wanted to touch on some of the big ones states that had over 200 deaths include California, which is at 270, but I think it's going to go higher. Pennsylvania's at 267. Michigan's at 212. Texas is at 241. And then some of the states that are over 100 are New York's at 118, New Jersey's at 126, Illinois's at 126, Florida's at 105, Ohio's at 151, Washington's at 174, Indiana's at 164, Tennessee's at 122, and Arizona's at 173. So these numbers are somewhat influenced by how they're calling them in. So some of these that are over 100 were much less yesterday, but yesterday's kind of Mondays, and Mondays are always low for deaths because they're usually reporting on deaths on Sunday. So the numbers are going to support a big surge in hospitalizations and deaths in January, and I think that's what's leading to those projections. Now, it's not clear what influenced the the variants are going to have. It's been generally acknowledged that the variants are causing increased transmission and affecting more young people. Younger people still are probably going to not have nearly as high a fatality rate. So some of these observations that it's not more severe, I think that's probably a little bit early because it's probably getting more of a younger population in there. And the way these outbreaks usually work is the younger people get infected and not as many die, and then they infect older people and the numbers start to go up. Now, it may get attenuated by the vaccinations. In the U.S., the vaccinations are off to a very slow start. About 2 million have been vaccinated so far, and the projection was that 20 million were going to be vaccinated by the end of the year. So it's far short of that. Part of its implementation, I kind of thought the implementation was going to be slow because it wasn't that long ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I mentioned an ad from CVS that was looking to hire personnel. And it just seemed that if they were starting to hire in December, they still had to train them and get the system set up, that, you know, they weren't going to be doing a whole lot of vaccinations in December. And they and Walgreens were contracted to go to nursing homes. So if the nursing homes get vaccinated and the vaccine's effective, then you know, that would help the deaths in probably in February and March. That's not going to really influence January, and probably isn't going to influence the beginning of February. Those people are pretty much already infected, and so the vaccine doesn't help if you're already infected. It only helps if you have an immune response before you're infected, and the data indicates that you really need 2 shots, that the protection is not nearly as high for 1 shot, and that's part of the reason AstraZeneca had a problem, is they were trying to see if they could get away with 1 shot, and those numbers were significantly lower than the Pfizer, Moderna data, which were were collected after the second shot had already had a chance to take effect. The variants are spreading. As I said before, I've got a map up. If you go to the sequences, each of the sequences that goes up has a link to the map as to where it is. And the map is showing that the virus is spreading, but it is significantly underrepresenting the spread. And the reason for that is that it's hard to identify the variants without sequencing. Actually, the one in the U.S., it did give a dropout for the spike. So it basically did the PCR on 3 different regions of the genome, and 2 of the regions gave a strong positive, and the spike test was negative. And that's because the spike protein has a lot of mutations in it, and that influences how well the primer binds. And if the primer doesn't bind, then you end up getting a negative result because of a mismatch. Primers have to bind, and then the PCR fills in the gap between the primers, and then you heat it up, so that serves as a template for a further target to get copied, and you end up with this amplification. That's why it's called a chain reaction, that you keep on creating more templates to greatly expand the sequence. And then you can, A, see how much virus is there, and B, you can even sequenced insert and confirmed that your signal's really coming from the SARS-CoV-2. As I mentioned earlier, the first positive was identified in the U.S. It was in Colorado. The initial reports indicate that the 20-something-year-old male did not have reported contact. Not clear how he got infected. If that holds up, then that would indicate there's a lot, a fair amount of the virus in Colorado. And a quick look at the sequences out of Colorado shows that the most recent collection was actually November 1st. And most of these sequences that are being picked up outside of the UK are December collections. A lot of them are being picked up because they're testing at the airport, everybody that came from the UK. And so they're kind of looking at the airport for recent cases. It's not clear how much recent cases they're looking for away from the airport. And it's, you know, based upon what labs are submitting, there's a lot of sequences that are coming in the past several days, but it's kind of like they're cleaning out their freezer. The sequences were collected. I mean, some of them were collected in August, September, October, November, and very, very few were collected in December. And in fact, a lot of the ones in November, at the beginning of November. So as far as screening and knowing exactly what's circulating today, that testing is relatively limited. And the virus, the concern of the virus, in part because of receptor binding domain changes, is that it will be more infectious. There'll be a higher viral load. They say people don't get sicker, but usually a higher viral load is associated with more severe illness. May not be everybody, but basically it's a battle between the virus and the host. If the virus starts out with more virus, it's harder to win that battle. And so we'll see. It's a pretty new virus, so need a little bit more time to know how serious the disease is going to be, especially once it starts getting out of the younger population and into the older population. And today, there weren't that many sequences. There was one from Sydney. That's the third one in Sydney. There were a couple on the east coast of Italy, down in the southern portion of the country. And then there were a couple that were from India. One didn't have inserts, which is unusual. And the easiest way to explain that away is by recombination with the wild type that does have the is to take the variant that does have the insert and with a wild type that has the not insert deletion. The wild type that actually has the sequence, and then that basically would eliminate the deletions. And that is the easiest explanation as to how three different deletions can disappear and leave all of the other non-synonymous changes in the spike protein intact. And then the Canadian sequence came from Montreal, and that one's concerning also because the contact from the UK tested as normal, not as a variant. And that was not the source of the variant sequence that was in this case. This is reminiscent of what happened in Italy. There was their first case, actually, the first positive in Italy was was a woman who had a contact with somebody from the UK. In fact, I think they called her a spy, and her companion was in the UK. He tested positive for COVID, and then she was positive, and they sequenced her, and she had the variant, and they assumed that she got the variant from her contact. But then when they sequenced the contact, he gave a normal sequence. And so it's a little bit confusing. One possible explanation, though, is this same type of dropout situation where if she had he was infected with or if he was infected with the variant and a normal sequence, it's possible that they would have missed the variant because the spike gene didn't get amplified because it didn't recognize the middle sequence, and they ended up or the middle test, and they ended up with a spike sequence that was normal, and that's what they ended up reporting. So it's a little bit unclear what's going on with dual infections if you have a normal sequence and the variant, and whether the variant outpaces in contact, it gets infected later, and therefore you end up seeing the presence of the variant. I don't know. It's a little bit fuzzy what's going on with these cases. It doesn't make sense that the person in the U.S. Took the normal sequence and turned it into the variant sequence. There's way too many changes. And the change and the sequence is precise. It exactly matches the changes that are in the variants. But the prediction is that these variants will continue to go up as more sequencing is done of recent collections. More positives will be identified, and the fact that so many passengers are testing positive at the airport. Now that they're testing, strongly indicates that there were a lot that were coming in and not being tested, and they're already in the country and spreading the virus. So that's about it. Things are kind of picking up on the fatality side in the U.S., and it's going to become increasingly clear that these variants are out there, and so those numbers will continue to increase, and we'll see how contained it gets, but the chances are it's not going to be contained because it's kind of these countries that are putting up restrictions are, again, closing the barn door after the horse is already out, and they're not looking that hard for the horses that used to be in the barn. They're just concerned about ones that are no longer able to get out, and unlike horses that don't reproduce that quickly, the virus does. And so the virus is out, and nobody's really testing for it in the general population. And just looking at airports, the virus in the general population will take off. And that's exactly what happened with the swine flu back in 2009. They were checking at the airport and saying, well, that doesn't mean it's established there because we got positives at the airport, and that they weren't checking the rest of the population, and the virus is already there and spreading and led to a pandemic. And the same thing's going to happen with this variant. It's going to be a pandemic within the pandemic. The pandemic within the pandemic is going to be the emergence of these variants, whether it's the one that originated or at least was initially identified in the UK or the other one that's in South Africa. They do have some things in common. They both have the same receptor binding domain change at position 501. They both have three deletions in the spike protein, and of course they're all the Italian strain, but that's everywhere. So I think that's going to wrap it up for now. We'll pick things up in the morning. I think we're going to stick with this format as do short updates on breaking news.
All right, thanks for the information. Hope everyone likes this new format. This is the format that we're going to do from now on, so it's going to be a lot more flexible and a lot more, real time, and see how it works. Please provide feedback too on our forums about it, and any suggestions or improvements you think. But thanks for sticking with us all this time, and we will continue to follow the pandemic as it continues to evolve. Thanks for listening, and have a good night.